They've been there the whole time. We've sung that song, and it just smacked me. How awesome is that truth? Amen. Church, this is what we mean by, and I know it's going to freak some of y'all out, because you don't like it when people say once saved, always saved, because you think that means something bad. But that's what once saved, always saved means. Jesus commands my destiny. I'm not looking to me for heaven. I'm not looking for what I do or don't do to get into heaven. I mean, I almost messed up right then, said a bad word. I mess up a lot. I do. Thank you. That's what James chapter 5 tells us to do. Commands us to pray for one another. Prayer works. I think we're going to talk about that here in a minute. Look at that. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, listen, when you're in my hand, ain't nothing going to get you out of there. Listen. Jesus, if Jesus does not command your destiny, if you are hoping on a wing and a prayer that you get into heaven, you ain't going. Only by Jesus. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4 this morning. We're going to continue our little jaunt away from Mark's gospel for a couple more weeks as we are introducing the vision for 2018. Prayer works. Over the last couple Sundays, I've given you some principles. Principles that I call to a powerful prayer life. The first one that we looked at was persistently consistent. Persistently consistent. That means at all times be in prayer. Secondly, we need to be in prayer together, unified together. Whether that's two of us together or the body as a whole together, we need to be unified in prayer. And last Sunday, we looked at the idea of passion, the passion of our prayer. This morning, I want to give you a fourth principle, and I think it's found in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, especially when we look at the prayer for boldness of these disciples. In order to get the context of what's going on in Acts chapter 4, you need to understand what happened in Acts chapter 3, and that was where the lame beggar is healed. Every day, Peter, James, John, the disciples would go to the house of prayer around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And every day, for at least 40 years, we've been told that there was a man who stood, or who didn't stand, he was lame. He sat outside the gates. As people would go in for the time of prayer, this lame man would beg, and he would say, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And people would walk by him, and they would throw in a few pieces of silver or a little bit of this, maybe give him a crumb of bread or something to eat. And he did this day in and day out for 40 years. He begged. Well, in Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and James and John, and they're all coming, and Peter and John are going to the temple, the hour of prayer. This guy comes out, and he's begging, and Peter looks at him and goes, sir, I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. And he said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, church, we just sung a song that said there is power in the name of Jesus. Peter understood that there was power in the name of Jesus. So he looked at this man and says, I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says that the man got up at that very moment and he began to leap and walk and enter the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw it. That's Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 4, we find out that the chief priests, the religious leaders of the day, didn't like that act. They were not happy that the man that was lame for 40 years is now all of a sudden walking and leaping and praising God, because what it meant, if you read chapter 3, was that many more people were coming to faith in Christ as the name of Christ was proclaimed. As the name of Christ was proclaimed, the Bible says, many more people came to know him as Lord. The ministry of the disciples grew and grew and grew, so much so that the religious leaders were fearful for their own security. So what did they do? We find in Acts chapter 4 that they grab Peter and they grab John at the late afternoon hour, and they decide, we've got to do something with these men. So they decide, it's too late in the day, let's put them in jail. And they prepared overnight how they were going to question, or actually, I think, not just accuse them, but we find out abuse them. And I want to stop right there before we get into our points of prayer today. And I want us to think about something about what it means to be the body of believers. Peter and John had just done the one thing they know to do, and that's share the name of Jesus. They didn't have money to start a social program. They didn't have money to go buy a bunch of food and give to the lame man or buy cases of water and give him a drink. All they had was what they knew, and that was the power of the name of Jesus. So what did they say? In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And what happened? A miracle happened. And what happened as a result of the miracle? Peter and John, representative of the church, were persecuted. Church, I think we need to understand something before we get serious about prayer. We need to understand that if the church is not facing persecution, the case may very well be that we are not pursuing God's purpose. We may not be doing what God has called us to do if we are not facing persecution. I believe as I read from Genesis all the way through the New Testament, there is one very basic biblical concept that occurs time and time again. Those who are doing what the Lord has called them to do, whether Old or New Testament, they face persecution. Time and time again, we see godly people, people who are pursuing God's purpose in their life, people who are doing what God has called them to do, will face persecution. If we don't understand that, if we won't grasp onto that, then we may very well be gathering every Sunday in this place. We may be gathering on Tuesdays or wherever it is we gather, calling ourselves the body of Christ, when in reality we're nothing more than a group of people gathered together. We might be in our workplaces, we might be at school, we might be in our families, and we call ourselves a Christian, but if we are not fulfilling the purpose of God in our lives, we might just be a fake. And that's really the fourth principle that I want to look at of powerful prayer. Are we praying God's purpose in our lives? Not are we praying for God's purpose, but do we understand that God has a purpose for each and every one of us individually, and God has a purpose for us as a body of believers, and are we praying that purpose to be fulfilled in our lives? That's what we find happening in the book of Acts. Now, I love Peter's response to what goes on. These guys pull Peter and John into prison. They make them stay there overnight, and then they pull them out in Acts chapter 4, and in verse 7, it says, when the religious leaders had put Peter and John in their midst, they begin to question them. By what power or by what name have you done this? By what power or by what name? And they're asking them, who do you think you are to go around performing such miraculous acts? Look at Peter's response. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an interesting term, church. You know, there's three terms from Genesis to Revelation used to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. We have the work of the Holy Spirit that is drawing us, that has come alongside us to draw us to Christ. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit that takes up dwelling in us. And now Peter, we find, is used, Luke, who is telling us what's going on in the book of Acts here, uses a word that says Peter is now filled. What this word really means in the English language is the Holy Spirit has now come upon in great power Peter. Not alongside him, drawing him, not in him, but upon him in an exercise of power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the same word as used here. Jesus says, you will be what? My witness, my testifier. And you will testify of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, when what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you in power. Now, here's my question. When was the last time you, as an individual, calling yourself a born-again, blood-bought believer, can say, that was a moment when the Holy Spirit came upon me? Because if you look at the Bible, you're going to find that from Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit will fill, will lead, will empower, and will equip the servant of God. Now, you amen? I love the two ladies that amen that, because all the men are going, oh, snap. If we take that thinking backwards, church, if we cannot identify times when the Holy Spirit is filling us, is leading us, is empowering us, and is equipping us, we can call ourselves the servants of God all we want. But the truth of the matter is, we ain't. Because the Bible teaches, listen, you don't want to take my word. You might want to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. And I'm not even on my prayer point yet. We're just going to go where God takes us. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus, it's written in red. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus has got his 12 disciples. Two of them in Matthew chapter 10 are Peter and John, the two guys we see in the book of Acts here. Two of the 12 disciples in the book of Acts heard Jesus say back in Matthew chapter 10, the beginning of his ministry, he has called the 12 disciples to himself, and he says, all right, now I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you 12 out, and you're going to have a message. You're going to proclaim the kingdom of God. You are my disciples. You are my servants, and I'm going to send you out. And in verse 19 of chapter 10, Jesus says, when, not if, when they deliver you over. Now he has sent them out as proclaimers of his word, as servants of his message, to tell everybody they come into contact with, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He has sent them out to proclaim his message. And he looks at them and says, when they deliver you over, not if. Again, going back to the first note, if we are not facing persecution, the case very may well be we are not walking with God. We're not fulfilling our purpose if we are not facing persecution. I'm not saying it happens all the time, but it will be happening. When they deliver you over, don't be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. How cool is that? And then Jesus doesn't leave them hanging. In verse 20, he says, it's not you who's going to speak, but the Spirit of your Father who is speaking through you. Now, let me go back to my point here. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit will be filling, will be leading, will be empowering, will be equipping his servant. Jesus makes it very clear that there will be times in our life when we will be delivered up in order to give a testimony. I don't know who picked the songs this morning. I really, 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 really don't. Yes, I do. It's God. Because we just finished singing with, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of what? Our testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Listen, the servants of God will be testifying. The power of God will be leading and empowering and equipping and filling the servants of God so that we can be testifiers, so that the power of God can be revealed through his people. That is exciting news. But seriously, to those who are called, okay, to those who are called, they will be sent. And they won't just be sent, they'll be sent with power. So let me ask you a question before we get into our prayer time this morning. How much persecution do we currently face in America as a church? Very, very, very. When I was teaching at Missouri Southern, I was doing anatomy and physiology, and we were doing cellular level stuff, and I'd have a student in the back go, yeah, but Mr. Youngberg, tell me how this, and I'll be like, I don't know. I don't know, but I tell you the one who does know, and when I die and get to heaven, I'll ask him and pray that he's in there. You can't say that. You can't talk about God in a public school. And I, my favorite thing to do is when I've done something and then someone looks at me and goes, you can't do that. I just did. We're going to tell your boss. Okay. So Dr. Saperita would come and knock on my office door and sit down and go, you know, I got a complaint. I went, you did? He goes, why do you do that? I'm called to. Actually, Butch knows the better answer to it. I like to be a donkey. My wife told me not to be one yesterday. Evidently, I have the ability to do that. He would look at me and he wouldn't say, if you do it again, you lose your job. He wouldn't look at me and say, if you do it again, you'll never teach in this region again. He just looked at me and said, okay, that's not persecution. To my knowledge, we don't have children in our streets losing their heads because they're identifying with Christ. That is happening in our world. I don't think we currently face much persecution. And I really don't think as a church many of us are required to speak to defend our faith like Peter and John were. What are you doing here, guys? What are you thinking, fellas? Matter of fact, as you go on in Acts chapter 4, after Peter gives this little speech, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the men in verse 13 go, well, they see the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceive that these guys were uneducated, untrained. They must go to First Baptist Orinoco. But they marveled all the more, and they realize they have spent time with Jesus. So verse 14, seeing the man standing there with them, they said, we can't say anything against this. So they say, Peter and John, leave us for a while, verse 15. And the council begins to confer among themselves, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So verse 18, they call Peter and John, and I believe also the man who is no longer lame, back into the room, and they commanded them in verse 18 not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. Peter, I love his response. And John, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to listen to God, you be the judge. But we cannot but speak. We cannot help but talk about the things we have what? Seen and heard. We can't shut up about Jesus. We can't shut up about he's making the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the blind to see. And oh, by the way, he causes the dead to be alive again. I can't shut up about that. You know what I find as humans? There are things we can't shut up about. Bad service at a restaurant. Can't shut up about that. Mistreatment of our government. Can't shut up about a shutdown. We can't shut up about how awesome our grandchildren are. I mean, anybody want to have a fight on who's got the greatest grandkid? Yeah, look at all the hands go up. We can't shut up about, man, get on Facebook. There's all kinds of things we can't shut up about. But you know what? The servant of God who is filled, led, guided, empowered, and equipped by the Spirit of God can't shut up about Jesus. Just can't shut up. You can't make them shut up. You can't. Look at it, it goes any farther. So when they further threatened them, one commentator says that they went from verbal threats, they began to abuse them. Punishing them is what the New King James says in verse 21. Punishing them. So, okay, we'll threaten you verbally. Shh, don't speak the name of Jesus. Okay, you're not going to do that. We're going to take your life into our hands, and we're going to beat the snot out of you. And Peter and John still could not shut up. In Acts chapter 4, I think we're given probably multiple principles. Matter of fact, I'm going to change it this morning. We're going to talk about being filled and what that looks like. Have you ever done a comparison between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and how the disciples acted in the Gospels and how they acted in the book of Acts? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the times that the disciples would gather together with Jesus or pray or come to Jesus, they had some pretty cool requests. One time, the disciples, it was the sons of thunder, go, hey, Jesus, can we call down fire from heaven to consume those who have rejected Christ? Can we? That would be me. Other times, you see the disciples doing some of the most stupidest things. Hey, Jesus, we've been ministering all day. Look at this big, huge crowd. We can't feed them, so send them away. James and John, again, who want to call down thunder, come to Jesus and go, can we sit on the right and left hand of your throne when we get to heaven? I mean, in the Gospels, their actions are so telling. They constantly demonstrate a lack of faith or a self-centered approach. I mean, they even said, don't let the children come to Jesus. Now and then, you would see the disciples kind of get it right-ish a little bit. But for the most part, man, they were just a jumbled, messed up group of guys. But then in the book of Acts, you find a completely different story. Their focus is now turned away from themselves, and now they are turned to God. Think about it. The first thing we see happening is 3,000 people coming to Jesus Christ on a single day when one man stands up filled with the Spirit and speaks a sermon. 3,000. And you know what? Peter's sermon didn't include illustrations, funny jokes, a PowerPoint. All he did was rehearse history. He didn't have a clown suit on. He didn't have sprinkle dust coming from the heavens. Or a PA system to do it. Yeah. No drums, no bongos, no, I don't know what the fringy thing was. Something happened. There was some crazy transformation, some radical change. And do you know what it was? It was not just the indwelling of the Spirit, but it was the coming upon or the filling of the Spirit. Well, Pastor, this is a Baptist church and we just don't do that. Then you're mistakenly robbing yourself in God. And you might want to seriously consider calling yourself truly a born-again, blood-bought believer. They went from being on their own agenda to now being on God's agenda. They quit seeking the seat of the right or the left of Jesus, and they began praying for boldness to testify of Jesus. And not just testify of Jesus when the circumstances were perfect and everything was safe and secure, but testify of Jesus in the midst of persecution. Their concern was not for their own protection. Their concern was now for the power from on high to be fulfilled in their lives so God's purpose could be fulfilled. Look at verse 23, the prayer of these Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-equipped servants of God. Being let go, Peter and John, they've just been threatened and beaten. They find their way back to the rest of the church, their companions, and they share everything that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now, we don't see here that they shared the beatings, but I believe that's simply because the bruises were evident. The persecution is evident. It leaves its mark, church. I'm not saying persecution is easy. I'm not saying it's fun. But I'm saying that we have a God who has said, I've overcome it all. So they come back and they report everything. So when the crowd, when the church hears that, verse 24, they raise their voice to God with one accord. And they say, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined to be done. I don't want to get crazy on you here, but we sang a little song earlier that said it was the power of darkness that put him down. I'm not saying we sung a bad song, but the Bible says that it was the hand of God that did all this. Satan didn't put Jesus on the cross, church. If Satan put Jesus on the cross, we're toast. Okay? We're toast if Satan put Jesus on the cross. Now, Lord, and I'm not saying don't sing that song because there's plenty of other good stuff in the song. Let's just don't hear. Now, Lord, look on their threats. I love this thought. Hey, Lord, what do you think about their threats? I mean, to me, their threats are pretty serious. Don't do it again. We're going to beat the snot out of you every time you do it. We catch you in the streets, Peter. You come up to another lame man and you say in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. We're going to cut your legs out from underneath you. How are you going to like that, Peter? I like what Peter does. I think Peter looks to heaven and goes, what do you think about their threats, Lord? What do you think God thinks about the threats of man? You think he's concerned about man threatening him? My God's bigger than that. Grant to your, look at the word there, servants, that with all boldness we may what? Stand against the threats. No, with all boldness we may what? Speak your word. Oh God, give us the boldness to speak forth your word, not our opinions, not our thoughts, God, just give us the power to speak your word with all boldness. Stretch out your hand, Lord. Not our hands. I got no power to heal. Stretch out your hand to heal, Lord, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And I love verse 31. When they had prayed, that means that they came to a point when they all had agreed together and said that wonderful word, amen, which means so be it. When it was so be'd, the place where they were assembled together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they did what? Speak the word of God with boldness. You see what a servant that is led, empowered, filled, and equipped does? They don't run on pews. I've done that. They don't jump up on the Lord's Supper table. I've done that. They do what? Speak the word of God. They don't speak their opinions. They speak the word of God, and it is done with great boldness. Principle number 4, you just got it. Filled. A powerful prayer life is one that is filled by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Fifth principle, you're getting 2 for 1 today. Pray God's purpose. How do we do that? I'm going to give it to you real quick. They're tuned in. Being tuned in to God. When I was growing up in Kansas City, there was a radio station called KY102. It was KY102 FM, rock and roll. And if you had the black bumper sticker with the yellow KY102 hung up in your room, you were a cool seventh grader. And then when you turned 16 and had your own car, if you had that bumper sticker stuck on the back bumper, you were a cool 16-year-old. Because KY102 was the station to listen to. And when I got in my mom and dad's 1976 Chevy Malibu station wagon, and I looked at the radio and it was AM only, I'm like, ah. Oh. But then my dad bought a ghetto blaster. I don't know, one of them big things. And he plugged it into the cigarette lighter. And right there sat, boom, the ghetto blaster. And you could tune it to 102. But you know what I found? I'm tuning that thing in, and it was always just a little past the 102 mark. Early on in the 80s, KY102 changed to KY102.1 FM. And that was the radio that started to advertise. And I'm like, what happened to my 102? Oh, they changed. No, my dad explained it to me. To be more specific, the radio dial needed to be tuned in specifically to 102.1 to get the clearest signal. You say, Pastor, why are you telling me this? Because if we are not tuned in specifically to God's purpose in our life, we are not going to get a clear picture. And the only way to be tuned in specifically to the purpose of God in our life is to be being filled, to be being led, to be being empowered, to be being equipped by the Spirit of God. How do we get tuned in? Real quick. Look at what they did in their prayer. They understood. They had an appropriate view of God. They said, Lord, you are God. That's the first line of their prayer. Lord, you are God. What they're saying is, Lord, it's all about you, not about me. Lord, you are the one who can fix this situation. Lord, you are the one who can take care of the situation. Lord, you are the one who can lead us through this situation. The word that they use here for Lord is despota, and it signifies that he is the total ruler of all. It is used only here and one other place in Scripture that I could find. It is not a very common term used by the church to declare him as despota, because what that means is you are total sovereign ruler of all things. We sung about that today. Again, I don't know who chose the songs, but I know who picked them out. It is God who wants us to understand that he has supreme authority. He has absolute power and an absolute rule. And let me tell you something, church. When God does not have absolute rule in our life as an individual, he will not have absolute rule over this church. And we will not have a powerful prayer life. We'll be too preoccupied with our own personal desires and our own personal positions and our own personal opinions. But when we can come before the God Almighty and say, Despota, Lord, sovereign God of all that I am your servant. Lead me, fill me, empower me, equip me, empty me of me, Lord, and fill me with you. They not only defined him as God, they declared him to be their God. Okay? And the Greek emphasis here, as they prayed in the book of Acts, is they emphasize that they were in his employment. He owned them, is what they were saying. Did we not sing this song this morning? You are God, you are Lord. Did we sing that this morning? No. You're all I'm living for. We sang something like that, though, didn't we? No, that's what I wrote down. You are king of everything. I want my life to praise you. Have you ever thought about what we're singing when we do sing that? You are God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says this. Because knowing God, although they knew God, they even knew to look up when speaking about him. They did not glorify him as God. And because they did not glorify him as God, they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. You see, the danger trap for the modern churchgoer today is to identify that we know God, but worry not that he has our life in his hands. To say, you know what, God, you know what? Sunday mornings, it's your time, but the rest of my life is mine. Lord, this little section of sin that I have in my life that I don't want to pay the consequences for, take it away. I believe that it's all for, yeah, you died for me. You died for my sin. Take it away. But to not let God, to not surrender the rest of our lives to God, that's the danger trap for most of us in the church today. We identify that there is a God, but then we worry not whether or not he knows us. Matthew chapter 7. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, Lord, did we not pray in your name? Lord, Lord, did we not minister in your name? What is Jesus' response to those people? It is not well done, my good and faithful servant. It is depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But Lord, we prayed. Lord, we preached. Lord, we healed. I'm sorry. I do not know you. We're more concerned with our acts of righteousness. You know what the Bible says about our acts of righteousness? They're filthy rags. I can be a little more specific if you want, but you might lose your breakfast. These folks in Acts chapter 4 were praising God for being counted worthy of persecution. They said, Lord, this must be your plan. You have brought Peter and John back from persecution to show us the bruises on their body, to tell us what we've been threatened with. But Lord, you look on their threats and you grant us boldness to go out and do it some more. Does that sound like our prayer meetings? Peter and John, they were beaten. They showed up to report what happened. They showed up beaten, bloodied. And what do we find happening? The church does what? Sweet! Let's praise God. Oh, you lost your job because you said Jesus. Amen, brother. Come on, let's praise God and go get some more. Is that? I'm not trying to make us feel horrible in here. I'm just trying to let us see in the Bible what a real powerful prayer meeting looks like. In the face of persecution, they go, Lord, give us more power, give us more boldness, equip us, lead us, empower us even more so that we can go out and do some more. Verse 26. The kings of the earth took their stand. The kings of the earth took their stand. All the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and his Christ. Paul tells the church in Corinth that the enemy, the ruler of this world, is that enemy. The world will stand against Christ. Where does the church stand? In Christ. How do we know we're standing in Christ? Look at verse 29 and 30. Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants. Do we have an appropriate view of our purpose? Do we have an appropriate view of ourselves? Grant your servants. Grant your servants wealth. Grant your servants health. Grant your servants happiness, safety, security. No, 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 and no. They did not pray for temporary earthly things. They prayed for the power from God on high to come and empower their lives, fill them, equip them, lead them, that they may speak the word of God more boldly. They wanted his power to be manifest among them and through them. Lord, look at what it says. By stretching out your hand, Lord, that signs and wonders may be done through the what? The name of Jesus. We might invoke the name of Jesus at the end of our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. What about invoking that signs and wonders by the hand of God through the name of Jesus be done? Verse 18 and 19, let me finish. I know it's a little afternoon, but if you came here thinking you were going to get out at noon, Marvin says I have an extra hour because we didn't do church on Wednesday. I say 2 hours because we didn't do it last Sunday night either. Good luck. 18. People call Peter and John back. And Peter and John, I love it. I'll tell you what, fellas. You're going to have to make up your own mind, church. Whether you think it's right to follow God or follow man, you that's your choice. But for us, we're going to follow God. Do we obey God or do we obey man? You know, in America today, we have all kinds of issues in our communities. Prayer in schools. Prayer in schools. What does man say? No prayer. What does God say? Pray at all times without ceasing. Which is better? Well, Pastor, but if I get caught praying at school, I'm going to be made fun of. I know. The pastor, if I get caught praying with my work, I might lose my job. I know. I don't have an answer for you other than what Peter and John said. Which is better, obey man or obey God? That's on you. That's exactly what Peter and John said. Now, I think the best is to obey God. What about homosexual marriage in our communities these days? What does man say? What does our Supreme Court say now, church? Yippee-yay-ha, go ahead. What does Romans chapter 1, verse 32 say? Let's celebrate it. What does God say? Uh-uh. No, no. Not a good idea. Not my plan. An abomination. That's just so not loving. Yeah, it is. Because abominations get you hell. How about living? Let's get a little more intimate. How about living together as unwed couples? That's just what happens these days. What's God say? Don't do it. Don't do it. It's called fornicating. But we love each other. Then get married and do it God's way. Well, no. We're going to obey man or we're going to obey God? Well, I sure hope there's no one in here that thinks this is a Baptist church being hateful. This is just God's word. Now, let me ask you, based on just those three little things just talked about, right, based upon this whole sermon, I don't think we need any help understanding why the church today is so powerless in this world. Because we're not obeying God. Let me just ask you, church. In a minute, Kevin's going to come, and he's going to sit at that piano. He's going to play something. I don't know, and I quite really don't care. But my question to you is, as an invitation comes, I'm going to ask you to seriously consider, when was the last time that you bowed your knees before God, that you came before Him in His presence and said, Oh Lord, lead me, fill me, equip me, empower me by your Spirit that I might have great boldness to speak your word. I'm not saying if you have a prayer request you want to come up and intercede on behalf of someone else to do that by all means. But before you intercede on behalf of someone else, why not intercede on behalf of yourself and say, Oh God, I don't think I've ever heard you speak through me. You know, every time you see Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know who's speaking? Jesus says is the Spirit of the Father speaking through him. It's not Peter opening his mouth. It's God. And sadly, I know a whole lot of good pew-sitting people who think that God doesn't do that anymore. He did it in my house on Monday. He did it in my house on Friday a whole lot. Verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they assembled was shaken. And the Holy Spirit came upon, if you want a literal translation, the Holy Spirit came upon all of them. The Holy Spirit and His power that was already evident in them. That happened on Pentecost. But this was a time when the power of the Spirit moved mightily through them. So much so that the house that they gathered in shook. When was the last time God shook this house? It's happened. I can tell you, it has happened. I've seen it. I've encountered. I've experienced it. There was a Sunday morning in July, many years ago, hotter than Hades. An empire said, "We're sorry, we don't have enough power to give you air conditioning." Right between Sunday school and church, and we gathered in this place. No light, no sound, no nothing, and it was already steamy in here. So the pastor made the executive decision that we're just going to sing a song or two, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to get out because we can't stand the heat. Can I tell you, I don't think it is a coincidence. Church, this place rocked that day. There was a Wednesday evening right back there in that corner. I was not in the corner. I was up here. There was a blind man and a Jewish used car salesman in that corner. It's not a joke. Jeff Cole and Kent Harmel. Kent Harmel had just recently come to know the Lord. Just recently baptized in that tank. And he came on a Wednesday night and we'd broken out into prayer groups. And Jeff's back there and Lori's pregnant with twins. Lainey and Gracie. Those two. It's just Kent. It was just you and Kent, right? There was no one else back there, was there? Was Shannon back there? Shannon was back there. Jeff's simple prayer that night was, "Lord, I know I'm going blind. I know I don't have the promise of sight, but if you just give me the opportunity to see my girls when they're born. To see my girls when they're born." 13 years? 14? How old are you, Gracie? Lainey? A little over 14 years ago. How many fingers am I holding up, Jeff? I'm not. I was waiting for Butch to do that. You know, occasionally, even recently on Wednesday nights, I've felt a rumble. Sometimes I go home on Wednesday night and I'm sitting in bed and got my phone out and I'll post, "Man, thank you, church, for making Wednesday night an awesome prayer time." Every Wednesday night, Wendy comes in the bedroom, she says, "Well, how did tonight go?" And I always come up with the same thing. I enjoyed it. But there are a few Wednesday nights occasionally when this place has a little rumble, and it's not the kids below us. It is the prayers of Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-equipped, Spirit-empowered people. It is the power of God moving through His people. Church, our culture, our world needs to see the power of God manifest through His church, made known through His church. 2018 can be the year that we experience the power of God as He shakes not just this house, but our homes. I can imagine what it would be like for the community of Orinoco to feel the presence and the power of God as this house shakes. But what about the houses in Webb City and Carl Junction and Carthage and Joplin and beyond where we live? In each little domain where the people of God are gathered together and they are seeking for the boldness of God to come into our lives that we may speak with more power and authority the Word of God. What about our classrooms where we teach Monday through Friday? What about our cubicles where we work Monday through Friday? What happens if in every instance, wherever we find ourselves, the power of God moves so mightily through us that that place shakes? As Kevin comes and plays, it's the invitation. I do not know who in this place knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know what our testimonies are. I know what we say about ourselves. But I want you, in this time of invitation, to ask yourself one simple question. When was the last time I experienced the power of God's Spirit on my life and through my life? And church, friend, if you say right now, I don't think it's ever happened. I don't even know if He's in me. Would you take the invitation from God Himself that He's allowing you to know that? Not to punish you. Not to make you feel like a piece of garbage that doesn't deserve grace, mercy, and love. No, God is revealing that to your heart so that He may come into your life and upon your life, that He may pull you from the pit of hell and convey you all the way to the point of heaven, that He may overcome the penalty and the power of sin in your life, and that you may go forth from this place a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, equipped and being equipped, empowered and being empowered, led and being led, all for His purpose. That the people you encounter this afternoon and tomorrow may experience His presence through you. Would you pray with me? Bow your heads. Father, Your word tells us very, very plainly that not one of us in this room can come before You unless You draw us there. Not one of us in this room can cry out the name of Jesus unless You draw us to Him. Father God, I know that Your Spirit is drawing people to You. It is the desire of the will of Your heart, Lord, that none should perish, be eternally separated from You. Oh, Father God, draw. Call out their names that they might come to You. Father, there are those believers in the Bible that had known about the name of Jesus and knew that He was the name by which man must be saved. But they'd never heard of the Spirit of God. And You sent Your messenger, Father, to them. And they said, we've known no such thing. Father God, if there are those in this place who identify themselves by the name of Jesus, but Lord, they don't know what it's like to be led, to be empowered and equipped by Your Spirit. Father God, would You cause Your Spirit to descend upon them today, speaking Your truth to their hearts that they might confess Your truth with their mouth? And oh God, we know that we live in a world, Your word tells us that the day we live in is dangerous, it is dark, that the enemy of this world is the ruler of this world. And we, Father, must be filled with the might and the strength of You, Lord. We can put on pieces of armor, but Father, if we are not filled and empowered and equipped and led by the Spirit of God, that armor is pretty much worthless. So, Father God, look upon the dangers of this world, the ones who stand against You, Father. Stretch out Your hand that by the name of Jesus, Your servants, led, empowered, equipped, filled by Your Spirit, may go forth from today speaking boldly Your word, shining boldly as light, living boldly as salt in this world, Father, that we may win some. for your glory and your kingdom. In just a moment, Father, as we rise to our feet, draw us even more to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Would you stand with me?